This service includes the third in our series of sermons about Paul's letter to the Colossians. And I think you've already heard that he wrote it to a group of Christians he'd never met, in a small town he'd never visited, that he hadn't founded the church there. But he was bothered about them. Like many churches, they had lots of gifts, but there were lots of problems. And so he wanted to compliment them on their gifts and then sort out their problems from a distance. And in this chapter 3, and I'm very glad to have this one, he uses lists to get his message across. And I'm a person who likes lists. I like to-do lists. I like shopping lists. I like present lists. I've got to say they don't always work. Helen and I went to Cambridge on Thursday with a list that included shoes and trousers for me. And we came back with a straw hat and a banana holder. And that was it. Nothing on the list. But I still persist in doing lists and ticking off things. And I was given a tip once. When you're doing a list, put at the top, make a list. Then do the rest. And then tick off the first one. Do you get it? It's a wonderful start, you know, and you've done it. And in this chapter that Barry read for us, Paul makes three lists, very conveniently. First, a naughty things you shouldn't do list. Second, in the church it doesn't matter who you are list. And thirdly, this is what you should aim to be list. And he uses a string of fascinating Greek words. And I've wasted quite a bit of time this week looking up quite a few of these Greek words, which I love doing. And I have actually a 6-hour sermon on each of the words. Are you all right? But I'm only doing one from each of the three lists, so don't worry. So let's have a look at these lists. The first, what I've called, a bit pathetically really, the naughty things you shouldn't do list. He actually splits his list into two. He tells them you should give up things that are earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which is idolatry. And then there's a bit of a pause while he gathers breath, and then he goes on, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth, and do not lie to each other. This list of things that Christians, indeed nobody, should do. And the list is, it's very interesting. He uses a word at the beginning, you should put these things to death. It's very graphic. We sometimes, and in the old versions of scripture, you sometimes see mortify your members, which I never knew what that meant, but it means put to death the things that are bad in you. Now, these things, you read them out, happen in the world. And I sat down actually this morning with Guardian one side and this list on the other, and I could easily have ticked every single one of the naughty things, the bad things, with a news item in the Guardian. And the Guardian isn't a sensational magazine, a newspaper, but there were things happening. And if you go online, you'll see even worse. And I've learned this morning, there's been a second mass shooting in America after the one yesterday. These awful things are happening in this world, and they're on Paul's list. The trouble is, said Paul, they're also happening in the church. I mean, the mind does boggle a bit what was going on in that little church in Corinth. They were certainly up to it in some ways or other. And Paul says to them, put these things to death. You've got a new life. You're risen with Christ. So don't do the deathly things. And he lists about 10 of them. And I just chose one, greed, pleonexia. It's actually the sense of that Jesus spoke about in the parable, gathering things for yourself at the expense of others. And if you keep putting self, self, self first, you are in that way replacing God. And that's why he goes on to say it's idolatry. And the Greek word for idolatry is idolateria. How about that? Not too bad. They are, by being greedy, you are replacing God in your life. And Paul is saying, watch out for all these things. And I just single out greed. In yourselves, in others, and in the life of the church. The evil things that go on in the life of the church. And that's why we should thank God for all the safeguarding things now going on in the life of the Church of England and other churches that try and stamp out these evil things that have happened and still do to some extent. We are worldly people, we get things wrong, but Paul is saying, keep an eye on yourselves and each other and do stamp out these things when you can. I preach about this very diffidently, and I don't feel I'm one to tell you how to behave yourselves. It wouldn't work anyway if I did, so I'm not going to. But the evil things should be stamped out. So I move on to the second list a bit more gratefully. He actually says, you're in a church now, and the second list, it doesn't matter who you are in the church, or where you've come from, what your background is. And I love this chapter, this bit of the chapter a lot more. He lists, in effect saying, because you're in Christ, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've been. You can be Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free. Doesn't matter. You're in the fellowship of the church, and Christ is all and in all. Now, each of those words is wonderful, but I found myself looking at Scythian. I should have a quiz. See who knew what a Scythian was. I didn't until yesterday. I'm going to educate you now. All right, I educated myself yesterday. They're a group of nomads who started off in Iran. They are warlike, or were warlike. They were experts at firing arrows from their horses. The men had beards and tattoos. They took marijuana and they drank their enemies' blood. Nice people on the whole. Now, I didn't know that till yesterday, so there we are. And we just read this word, Scythians. Barbarians are bad enough. Scythians are even one below barbarians. Wretched people, or just different people. And Paul is saying, in effect, he's not been to this group of Christians, but he says, whoever joins you, they are Christ's, and they are welcome. I think it's a very simple message. Doesn't matter what our backgrounds are, they are part of our fellowship, and he's putting it very dramatically. And I hope that's true of this church. We've set up, as you know, as many of you will know, a St. Mark's for Everyone group, when we're emphasizing diversity. Whoever comes through that door or joins one of our fellowships or wants to know more about Jesus, whoever they are, whatever their background, however different they are from us lot, doesn't matter. They are one with us. And if a Scythian walked through that door now on his horse, firing arrows, we'd have to say, you're welcome, all right? I may need to rephrase that a little bit, but that's the point he's making. He's making. And the third one. This is what you should aim to be. This is what you should seek. And he doesn't use the language of death and life in this case. He talks about new clothes. And the things I put on my list and don't end up with, well, I ought to put these on my list. And they hardly need a sermon. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, living in perfect harmony, the word of Christ dwelling in you, etc. That's our aspiration, if you like, and by the grace of the Holy Spirit, that's what we seek to achieve. I can't really add much, Just the word meekness, humility, translated. It's one of those double-edged things. Tapenophrasune. Very slightly complicated word. And I think I've spelt it wrongly. But anyway, it's a complicated word. But it does, it's got that double edge to it, humility. It can mean, and sometimes does in Scripture, subservient and servile, being trodden on. Or it can mean modest about oneself and respecting others. And I think that is what is meant. It's a very difficult quality in some ways, humility. There's a man called Lord Longford, who you may remember, he died some years ago. He wrote a book called Humility. And when he walked past Waterstones and saw it wasn't central in the window, he went in and complained. You know what I mean? Humility is a slightly tricky thing to get right, but it is showing respect to others and love. Be considerate and kind because you're strong in Christ and you're wearing his clothes. So I'm grateful for those lists, but it's not a tick box exercise. It really isn't. Oh, I've been good at humility this week, and I've given up, I was going to say fornication, but you know what I mean, I've given up anger, a bit safer. Sorry, that shouldn't have been in the sermon, that bit, shouldn't it? But it's not a tick box exercise. It comes to a lovely end. In fact, Jesus is saying, put on Christ. And he ends this lovely, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And it's the spirit of the lists that counts. And I put it at the end, because he mentions singing hymns as well, Christians should be tuneful and thankful. I think of my mum when that's the case, because she was always singing hymns as she did the vacuuming. And it somehow feels right to me that we seek to be tuneful and thankful. So that's the third of Colossians. I hope they took note. We have no record of what happened to the church later on, but I hope they gave up the bad things. I hope they welcomed everybody, and I hope that they aspire to the good things. In the name of Christ. Amen.